Yahweh, the ancient words of God, through his word to our souls. Pastor Danny brought a beautiful message last week and began it with a fitting personal story of her being left behind because she was preoccupied with lesser things. And I think probably at some point we could all identify, couldn't we? Our God must be trying to get a truth across to us because that's a similar emphasis of the message today for the second Sunday in a row. I really believe he has a word to speak to us. And so I'm going to share a little story with you as well. It's one that I've shared with some before of being lost, although I knew where I was. I don't know if you've ever been lost, but you knew where you were. It's sort of sad, though, that in life sometimes we can be further distanced from God than we realize and don't really understand that maybe sometimes we're just missing something from him. I actually was in Nashville at the Reservoir Park as a kid, and on Sunday afternoons we took homemade ice cream and enjoyed it as a family of six and often would walk around the water reservoir, which was quite large if you've seen it on 8th Avenue South. And on this particular day, I don't know how it happened, but my sister and I somehow got separated from the other two sisters and my parents. And then we realized, oh, we don't see them either way. So we started rushing to get around to where they were. And they must have about the same time realized that we weren't with them. So they began to go the opposite way looking for us. So we just kept going around and never meeting each other. So at some point, we must have reversed directions, but so did they. So we just kept going around the other way. This motorcyclist came by and saw two little girls there crying and not knowing which way to go, and went on around and saw the parents with two other little girls and said, "I think I get this picture. Can I help?" And they said, "Yes. Will you just go back around? And when you see those two little girls, will you tell them, stand still. Don't go either way. We will come to you." So I remember when the motorcyclist came up, and that was before the days, you know, you don't talk to strangers. We didn't know there were such a thing as strangers. So when he stopped and said, "How can, you know, I'm here with a message," we were all ears. Just stand still, because they're on the way. Sometimes in life, don't we just sometimes need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Just stand still because he's on the way. And it reminds me of this beautiful scripture in Exodus 14:13 that says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that's what Moses was telling the people. Do not be afraid. You will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. What a message is that? But what they're to do is to only be still. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Do you need to hear a word from the Lord today? A word regarding your circumstances or your family and friends, relationships, your work, your country, maybe a word about your God. Sometimes we can get some misconceptions, or he may seem far away. Maybe we need to hear a word about God that would comfort and strengthen you. Those ancient words that have been proven true by generations of God's people. The word, the living word, as well as the written word, the living word who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he just says to you right now, just sit still. Sit still. Stop rushing in your mind this direction and that direction to resolve or solve all your problems. Maybe God's trying to catch up to you. And maybe he has something to say to you. So, but you can stand for a moment, please, if you'll stand with me. And we're going to read the scripture together on page 1121, if you have the Bible in the pew in front of you. Isaiah 40, verse 8. A beautiful scripture that reminds us that even though the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. And then on page 854, Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven or flawless. He is a shield to all who trust or take refuge in Him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may be seated. Two prominent ways exist that we can discover that the Word of God is proven true, that He honors His Word, that He keeps His Word. There are two predominant ways. One is the story of God's redemptive plan. And I know we know it, but just to remember that the story of God's redemptive plan all through history and its fulfillment is His basic proof to us of His everlasting love. You have heard the hymn. The first verse that starts out, "How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who to Jesus for refuge have fled?" He has said it here in His word. And so what has He really said? It's in history. History reveals the lengths that God went to, the price that He paid, coming as a babe, dying on the cross, and even the understanding that even before those 2,000 years ago of what Christ did, that God worked through centuries of time to actually lay a foundation, that there would be a people through which He could come. So before He showed up on the scene, the whole Testament revealed God's love to us in His redemptive plan. And that's why one reason I'm just so excited about the Immerse group coming up, where we look at the whole story and how God puts it all together for us. It's like a river runs through it, or a thread ties it together, proving to be the proof of the dependability of our God. The story is amazing that it was all planned and executed for us. And you know, when you read, especially in the Psalms, where the Israelites, that's their hymn book, and they're praising God, in Psalm 136, it recounts the faithfulness of God through the praise of the people. And they're singing to Him, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, who by His great understanding made the heavens and the earth, who delivered His people from the Egyptians." And of course, before that, He called Abraham out so that He could establish a people to be instruments in the hand of God for the salvation of all people. Jacob, of whom we heard last week, who had the renewal of the promise to him for there at Bethel, in spite of himself, Jacob received the renewal of that promise because God keeps His word, sometimes in spite of us. The children of Israel just go on in Psalm 136 to continue to recount the goodness of God. "With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, He divided the Red Sea and brought Israel through the midst of it, who gave victory battle after battle to restore them to the land that He had promised to Abraham, from which Abraham had come before they went into Egypt. To the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, give thanks to the God of heaven. His mercy endures forever. And on and on and on, the recounting goes through the whole New Testament that God has been calling the resources of all of heaven on behalf to work for his people. When God was extending mercy to the Israelites, he was extending mercy to us. So every time we read of anything that God has done in the past, it was in part working out the plan of redemption that would come to us. So when God was making a way for the Israelites in the desert, he was making a way for us. When he was preserving them as a people, he was preserving us. He was redeeming the world. And so herein is the greatest proof of the truth of God's word and his love for us. It's wrapped up in the scripture that so many of us have learned from many a year ago, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it, of course, follows with a wonderful promise that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we find that is the greatest proof, is the eternal history of the eternal God, the history of his coming to us. But it's so important, the second predominant proof of God's honoring his word, of his faithfulness to us, and that is when it goes beyond biblical history and it becomes our personal history, our story. We experience its truth. We experience its reality because we experience God himself. And then we have a resurrection story. And we've enjoyed those, haven't we, during this last Easter time. But we all who have experienced God and come to him, we have a resurrection story. And we become the part of this stream of miracles. And it happens when his spirit witnesses to our spirits that we are children of God. And Romans 8:16 makes it very clear that the Spirit of God testifies to us that we belong to him when we have approached the throne. So I want you to watch a clip that challenges us personally to possess the promises of God.